Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation, the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts this morning be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, you are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We continue in this season of Lent. We're four Sundays into it. We've got three Sundays towards Easter, concluding today. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. It's our picnic in the park, all-church picnic following Palm Sunday, and then it's Easter. We're on our journey to Easter. A lot of people try to get to Easter without going through the cross. There's a word for that, trying to get to Easter by bypassing the cross. It's called cheap grace. What that means is it's a grace that costs us nothing or doesn't ask anything of us. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Lead us not into temptation. These last several Sundays, I've been preaching sermons based on temptation, particularly the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Lead us not into temptation. This part of the Lord's Prayer that we pray every Sunday. In our New Revised Standard Version, it's, "Do not bring us to a time of trial," or "Do not bring us to an hour of testing." That's been translated that as well. Testing, trial, temptation, all comes from the same word. Do not bring us to the time of trial. Lead us not into temptation. I'm going to talk about this particular line in our Lord's Prayer based on an interpretation from this man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Many of you may have heard this name before. Some of you may have never, ever heard it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer lived in the early part of the 20th century. You can see that from 1906 to 1945. He's German. His family was a very prominent German family in Berlin. His father was a renowned psychiatrist and professor of the university in psychiatry. The Bonhoeffer house was filled always with professionals and scholars and people of renown. It was a very prominent place, and Dietrich grew up in the midst of privilege. All of his siblings were brilliant. They were scientists and professionals and college professors. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a teenager, he made the decision to become a theologian, which is very strange and ironic and bewildering to his family because, at the best, they were nominal church people. Some would consider that they edged on the verge of agnosticism or maybe even atheism, and so they were all bewildered. "Dietrich, you're brilliant. You could be and do anything you want to in the world. Why theology?" He never did have a very great explanation of that, other than it's just something that just overwhelmed him. By the time he was 21, he had his PhD in theology from the University of Berlin. Brilliant. He spent a little time in the United States in postgraduate work at the Union Theological Seminary in New York. But he went back to Germany. 1933, you remember your history, that is when Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany. And then made himself, shortly thereafter, Führer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer to this day is known by several writings that continue to be in print and studied by churches all over the world. Many of your Sunday school classes or maybe a small group may have studied one of these books. His most famous is The Cost of Discipleship. It's where we get the idea of costly and cheap grace. Cheap grace, the grace that asks nothing of us. Life Together is a work that talks about what it means to be the church, what it means to live in community together. And Letters and Papers from Prison is a collection of works that he wrote while he was in prison. In 1933, after Adolf Hitler became Chancellor and then Führer, and the Nazi Party began to rule a reign of terror in Germany, the first strategy of Hitler was to capitulate and compromise the church, which he did very easily. The National Church of Germany was ready for a Messiah, someone that could somehow or another bring the church back to its glory. The Führer promised that, and they all capitulated. Whatever you want. The Führer put his own leadership into the leadership of the church, and it became a very compromised place, except for a group of dissidents who separated. They would not sign the clause of loyalty to the national church. And this little group was known as the Confessing Church. They created a little seminary, and they asked Bonhoeffer, Dietrich, to be their teacher, their professor. And he did. This little renegade group was under suspicion by the Gestapo from the beginning. In 1937, a little-known meditation that Dietrich Bonhoeffer gave to this little group of seminarians. He called it a meditation on temptation. He based it on the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." His take on this is this: why did Jesus tell us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation"? His answer is because you will not survive it. You do not have the means by which you can be assaulted in body, mind, soul, and spirit and survive. You will be completely alone, you will be devastated, and you will be destroyed. Lord, lead us not into temptation. The temptation he was talking about was the temptation that Jesus confronted in the wilderness, a complete assault on body, soul, mind, strength, spirit. He said in the meditation, the two temptations in the Bible. The first temptation is the temptation of Adam. Adam is in the garden. It's a beautiful world. It's the garden of purity and innocence. It's the garden of delights when all is given to you. It is the pure and perfect world. And even in the pure and perfect world, the seed of doubt, did God say this or not, was all it took to turn the garden into a wilderness, to turn the pure world into the fallen one. The second temptation is Jesus in the wilderness. Now we're in a fallen and corrupted world, a world full of lies and deceits, and a full assault on Jesus in body, mind, soul, and spirit, all alone. Bonhoeffer says he was without sin. He prevailed. But you and I would never prevail. A seed of doubt will bring about an uncertainty about the world, a confusion about who we are and what we will about. It would bring about a despair of meaninglessness and purposelessness, and it would utterly destroy us. And then Bonhoeffer says, and yet, because of the grace of Christ Jesus, who dwells in the heart of the believer, the Christ who dwells in the heart of the believer. He says from 1 Peter, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when His glory is revealed. Temptations will come. But no, beloved, the Christ that dwells in you suffers with you. Little did they know that within a few weeks the Gestapo would raid this seminary. 27 of them would be arrested. They would be conscripted into the German army and sent to the Russian front, and many of them did not survive. Bonhoeffer at this time was not arrested. He was spared because of his aristocratic background, and yet he was banned from Berlin, and he was banned from ever teaching again. His friends in New York in Union Theological Seminary raised enough money to send him back to the United States to get him out of the country. And yet, within a couple of weeks, he said, I can't stay. I've got to go back. I've got to go back with my people. I cannot be a witness to my God 2,000 miles away. I have got to be with my people. And so he returns. In 1942, he is arrested, and he's sent to Tegel Prison in Berlin. And there he begins to write little notes on little scraps and pieces of paper that he's able to smuggle out, little letters to friends and to his fiancée. Later they're all collected and put in this book called Letters and Papers from Prison. This is a little reflection that was smuggled out that he wrote. It is infinitely easier to suffer with others than to suffer alone. It is infinitely easier to suffer as public heroes than to suffer apart and in ignominy. It is infinitely easier to suffer physical death than to endure spiritual suffering. Christ suffered as a free man alone, apart and in ignominy, in body and spirit, and since that day, many Christians have suffered with him. On April 9th, 1945, just after it was discovered that Dietrich Bonhoeffer's name was on a list of conspirators that were a part of conspiring the assassination of Adolf Hitler, Adolf Hitler himself signed the death warrant for Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And on that day, he was hanged. The irony of this is, within 2 weeks, Adolf Hitler will have committed suicide in his bunker, a a defeated and humiliated man. Germany surrendered. The war was over. Several years after this, a doctor in the prison was discovered and interviewed, and he was asked about that particular day. And the doctor said this: "Through the open door in one room of the huts, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer, before taking off his prison garb, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the steps of the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. In almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. Oh Lord, lead us not into temptation. And yes, oh best beloved, beloved believers, remember that we are Easter people. But to get to Easter, there is a cross. And sometimes grace can be costly. But let us always know the Christ that dwells in us, the Christ who is with us, the Christ who gets us through any cross, always to Easter. Thanks be to God. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord, in your mercy, grant me the serenity to accept those things that I cannot change, the courage to change those things which I can, and the wisdom to discern the one from the other. In the name of Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.